Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. This is the 286th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is Strong Faith, Biblical Faith, also known as the Faith of Jesus Christ. We're going to focus on Romans chapter 4, 16 through 25. And you know, in this message, folks, we're going to cover some more of that good news, God's good news. It's contained in the book of Romans. In fact, I suppose we could actually call this book of Romans as we know it as, the gospel to the Romans, because it's the good news. In today's message, we're going to look specifically at strong faith, also known as biblical faith, and how we can have it. Now, we've been studying Abram. And remember, God promised that all these nations of the world would be blessed through this one man. So God wanted to bless you and me, just as he blessed Abram. And those blessings, they flow through strong faith, biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ that's in us as a gift. Now, let me just kind of paint this as a what if, you know? What if two letters were dropped into a mailbox? And the one letter, it was beautiful, absolutely beautifully addressed in calligraphy, like my wife Terry does for weddings, on beautifully embossed paper. The envelope and stationery inside probably cost a couple dollars. And just imagine that, okay? And then the other one was in an old brown envelope that was reused, okay, with a barely legible address that was scribbled on there. Now, the beautiful one, okay, it also had a letter full of these incredible thoughts that were so deep and insightful. Yet that beautiful envelope lacked a postage stamp, whereas that scribbled note in that dirty brown envelope had a postage stamp on it. Now, which one do you suppose is going to get delivered? Which one? Well, of course, we all know the answer. The ugly one with the stamp. That's it. The ugly one with the stamp. And likewise, in our spiritual lives as Christians, faith is that postage stamp. In other words, some of us may look better. We may pray better. We may have more eloquent words, but God's looking at the stamp of faith upon our hearts and in our lives. So we've learned last week that God called Abram and told him that all the nations of the world were going to be blessed through him. But God didn't simply make the Hebrew nation this reservoir of blessings, so to speak. No, he wanted to channel blessings through them to all the nations of the world so that everyone could be blessed. And likewise, that's what God's doing to all of you here listening to this message right now. He doesn't simply want you to be blessed. He wants to channel blessings through you to others. And that's the point. We're not supposed to sit soaking sour in the truth. He wants to make you and me channels of blessings to a lost and fallen world, just like he made Abram a blessing. Amen? Now, this faith, it's crucial. This saving faith, this biblical faith, this faith of Jesus Christ is crucial in our relationship with Jesus, because the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So the way to please God is to believe God. Very simple, folks. You know, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that we can't be saved apart from faith. We can't. It says, for by grace ye are saved through faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Now, some of you listening right now may be walking a walk that's full of stumbles and falls, while others of you are victorious. So what's the difference? Does God favor some of us more than others? No, the difference is found in these words, by faith. That's the key, folks, by faith. The Bible says, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it's all about this strong faith, this biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ, the faith of Jesus Christ. Pistos Christos, as it said in Greek, faith of. That very faith that held Jesus to the cross is the very same faith that can operate in us. It's given to us as a gift. And we just have to understand that we have to allow that faith to operate in us. So some of you are overcomers. Yet some of you are overcome, you know. And the difference is understanding that you've been given the very same faith that Jesus Christ has. You know, some of you have a really bright hope for heaven, and you just know that heaven's very real. I remember Kat Kerr, we used to have her on the Tribulation Now show, and she knew that she knew. And that was a strong biblical faith. Yet to others, heaven's not very real. Now, for all of you that have that very bright hope, like Kat Kerr had about heaven, that's about faith. That bright hope comes from faith, biblical faith. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. This making sense, folks? You know, heaven's just as real for some of you as if you're already there. That's what I saw in Kat Kerr when she used to talk about heaven. She'd come alive. And that strong biblical faith, also known as the faith of Jesus Christ, is what makes all the difference. So what exactly is this sort of faith? Because we hear everybody in this world, believer and unbeliever alike, throw around this word faith. In fact, there's even secular songs out there, that one, you gotta have faith, you know? Well, it's not a bunch of hope-so's, you know? It's no-so's. It's not a hunch. The faith of Jesus Christ isn't positive thinking. Biblical faith isn't believing everything's just going to work out. This saving biblical faith is taking God at his word. And we all need to do that, folks.
So it's not responding to emotions or feelings. It's not having goosebumps running up your arm or liver shivers or crocodile tears. It's not miracles and signs, folks. Biblical faith is not believing simply that God can. Okay, and everybody says that. Well, God can if he wants to. Biblical faith, the saving faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, okay, is actually knowing that God will. You know, real faith, this strong faith, this saving faith of Jesus Christ that is operating in us is actually a death sentence of sorts to all doubt and unbelief. It really is. You know, this biblical faith, it's dumb to discouragement. Doesn't even have that in its mindset. It's blind to impossibilities, and it knows that God is able and he will. Praise the Lord. Now, this is the kind of faith that we all need. But better yet, folks, it's the kind of faith that all believers have been given. We're saved by grace through faith under good works. And it's a gift, lest any man should boast. So God's given you the faith of Jesus Christ. All you have to do is appropriate it. And we're going to learn all about this kind of faith in this message today, folks. The very same faith that Abraham had. So be sure to stay tuned, folks. And we're going to look at five life-giving, life-saving truths concerning the strong faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, which is a gift of God that releases the grace of God, that respects the greatness of God as it responds to the guidance of God, hence reflecting the glory of God. And that's what it's all about, folks, those five truths. It's a gift of God, releasing the grace of God, respecting the greatness of God, responding to the guidance of God, and then ultimately reflecting the glory of God. So first of all, that first truth is that strong faith, like I said, is a gift of God. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Now, this grace that Paul's talking about is God taking the initiative, you know? Remember last week we said grace is the unmerited favor of God given to sinners such as you and me, folks. That's you and me, where there's no merit whatsoever. God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, salvation, it's a gift of God, but so is faith. And we must have that faith to receive his salvation. So grace isn't this reward for our faith. It's grace that takes the initiative to give us that saving faith. Does that make sense? The point I'm trying to make is we don't generate this biblical faith. It's not faith in Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what the scriptures say when you look at them properly translated in the King James. Not even in the New King James, folks. They're getting it wrong because they don't understand this truth. And folks, what they don't understand is that we're all totally depraved by nature, and there's nothing in us that can generate such faith. It's a gift. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So what could we have done if we're dead? What can a dead man do? So it's not just that we're sick when we don't have Jesus. It's not just that we're kind of gone astray when we don't have Jesus. We're dead. D-E-A-D, dead. So we all have to learn this. Grace isn't a reward for our faith. Our faith is a gift of God's grace. It's so amazing, folks. So God's got to give us faith. And praise the Lord, he does. But not only does he give us faith, okay? He gives us each a measure of faith. And that's enough, because Jesus said that if you take this faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you know, and that's not even a measure of faith. You know, a measure of faith, like I was buying the onion sets to put in the garden, and you take a scoop and you scoop it up and you put it in a bag, and then you take it up front and you weigh it. That's a measure, depending upon your bag, you know, and there are many, many onion bulbs in there. And Jesus is saying, if you just have one the size of a grain of a mustard seed, but we're each given a measure. And who's this given to? Just only certain people? No. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. So we've all been given it. How? By grace. So the only reason we could have this faith to begin with is that God takes the initiative. He puts this biblical faith in our hearts. Now, if this faith is a gift of God and this gift of faith receives the gift of God's grace, does that mean that God also does the believing for us? No. He won't believe for us. We've got to do the believing. Now, you may be thinking, But I thought you said faith was a gift of God. It is. It is. But faith and believing aren't exactly the same thing. And apart from God, we couldn't believe. But let me ask you a question, okay? Is breathing a gift from God? Well, of course it is. You know, think about it. God gives us our lungs. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And the lung, if you study Gray's anatomy, is a phenomenal organ in the body. And then God gives us the air. But if we choose to, we could put a plastic bag over our head, tape it off, tie our arms behind our back, and smother ourselves. We could if we wanted to. And likewise, we could fail to believe God if we choose to. Dwight L. Moody, a common man who became a mighty, mighty man of God, and the founder of the Dwight L. Moody Bible Institute, and has impacted millions upon millions of lives, the Billy Graham of his day, so to speak. He said something that was so profound concerning this sort of biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. He said, I used to close my Bible and pray for faith. He'd say, God, give me faith. Give me this faith like Abram had. Give me the faith of Jesus Christ, please. And then he said his faith would never grow. And then he said, he read Romans chapter 10, verse 17, which says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then he said, I stopped praying for faith and start reading my Bible, and this biblical faith just burst a flame in my heart. The point here is, folks, that faith is a gift of God, but we got to get into the Word of God to receive it. And by the way, in soul winning, when we bring people to the saving faith of Jesus Christ, if we co-labor with the Holy Spirit to bring them into the kingdom, and if you want to believe, if you want them to believe, you got to give them something to believe in. So give them the Word of God. Carry extra Bibles with you. The promise is contained in the Word of God, folks. So the first truth is this strong faith is a gift of God that we receive. And then the second truth is that strong faith releases the grace of God. Amen? It receives the gift of God, then it releases the grace of God. Again, from verse 16 in Romans chapter 4, therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure. Isn't that awesome? So this faith links us to grace. Now, we're not saved by faith. We're saved by grace through faith. But it's this faith that links us to grace. Saved by grace, how? Through faith. Now, the only way that grace can ever operate through in us is through faith. That's what the Bible's telling us. Now, Jesus died on the cross and he paid for our sins, but that does us absolutely no good until we put this gift of faith into action. And we put it where God put our sins, and that's upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, grace is released by faith, okay? Whereas unbelief holds grace as a prisoner. Remember back in the Gospel of Matthew, okay? Matthew 14, 58, to be specific. The Lord Jesus was in his hometown of Nazareth, and he said he could do no mighty works there because of what? Their unbelief. So they were bound or binding or limiting God's move of grace in their own lives. And the only way that the promise can be sure is by grace. But we need to allow grace to flow by exercising this faith. Again, from verse 16 of Romans chapter 4, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure. Now, there's a lot of my legalistic friends out there, and I worked with one of them for a long time on Blog Talk there over 5 years. And he'd say stuff to me like, bro, are you sure you're saved? I mean, you better watch that thinking there. You know, you're going to sin, and when you sin, you're going to go to hell. And I'd say, no, I'm absolutely certain. I know that I'm saved. And then he'd respond, well, how can you be so sure? You've got a lot of confidence in yourself. That's pride. I'd say, no, I don't have any confidence in myself, Johnny. None. If I had confidence in myself, I'd never be even sure that I'd be good enough in 15 minutes to make it to heaven if I happened to have my life depart from this world at that moment, you know? If salvation is by my works, forget it. But if salvation is by grace and grace alone, then I'm sure I know that I know. And that's what the Bible says right here. So faith receives the gift of God, and faith releases the grace of God. Is this making sense? Now, if you think you're going to get to heaven by your own good works, you know, yeah, Jesus saved me, now it's up to me. I got a guarantee for you folks. One guarantee that I'm absolutely certain of. You're never going to be sure. Oh, I just sinned. Was that a sin that's going to keep me out? Oh, I just sinned. What if I keep sinning like this when I die? You'll always be wondering, have I done enough? Am I good enough? What if I'm in this thought or this action right when the Lord calls me home? What if I'm in this action right when the trumpet sounds? And folks, I'm going to tell you, what you have there isn't a no-so salvation. You've got a hope-so salvation. So rather than being an exclamation point as you walk in this world, you end up being all bent over looking like a question mark. And what kind of testimony is that? Just like old Johnny, you know, always moaning and groaning about this demon-infested rock and wanting to get off of it. Is that any way to live? We're supposed to be walking epistles led by all men. We're supposed to be always prepared to give an answer for the hope that lies within. That's what St. Peter said. Now, how are you going to do that if you're walking around all hunched over saying, woe is me, I'm so miserable? You know, I used to get on the pre-show and he'd say, how you doing, bro? I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. And if any of you know me, you know I tell you that all the time, because I am. I'm truly blessed, regardless of circumstances, folks. And that would just get some of these workspace people so upset. You know, honestly, folks, honestly, if we're going to go out there and co-labor with the Holy Spirit to win souls, where's the victory? Where's the sign of an overcomer if you've got this hope so woe is me type of testimony? You got to have a no so exclamation point type of testimony. And folks, until we understand that it's by grace and grace alone, we're never going to be able to say praise God, hallelujah, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. You know, I once heard this story, it's kind of funny, about a group of people that were queuing up to get into the pearly gates. Okay, they were being checked in. This is a story, so just go with it, okay? It was a long, long line. I guess there must have been a rush on pink slips that day, you know? And people were standing at the end of the line. They heard some celebration going on up at the front of the line by the gates. So somebody ran up front to see what was going on. Why, there was all that dancing and cheering. And that person come back and said, it's wonderful news. They're not counting prayer meeting attendance. Now, that's a joke, folks. We're all supposed to go to prayer meetings and, you know, forsake not the gathering of the brethren until the Lord returns. But the point is that we don't get saved by going to prayer meetings. The point is we don't get saved by doing blog talk radio shows on Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Friday nights, and pre-recording on Saturday mornings. And living like a hermit and giving our tithes and, you know, doing whatever else we do, you know, in ritual with a rigor that puffs us up and makes us think we're better than somebody else. Now, we may think we're doing that all for God, but the point here is that we'll never have the assurance of our salvation if we act like that, you know? But we're going to be able to say, thank God, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. It's by grace and grace alone that I'm certain, when we understand these truths, these five truths. So truth number one, strong faith receives the gift of God. And then strong faith releases the grace of God. And then the third truth, and get this, folks, maybe you ought to be writing these down, okay? It's in the little intro on the blog talk screen. Strong faith respects the greatness of God. And that was the key to Abram's faith. He had a respect for the greatness of God. Praise the Lord. He did. Romans chapter 4, verse 17 reads, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed. Now, the whom refers to God, and the he refers to Abram here. Okay. Then Paul continues, even God. Now, listen to this. This is so awesome. Who quickeneth the dead. That means gives life to the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. So here Paul's saying that our God specializes in two things. Now, in fact, he's cornered the market on many, many more than two, but these two things specifically he mentions right here. In fact, these are two things that nobody else can do. Only God can do. Did you catch them? Like I said, there are many things that only God can do, but these two things are mentioned right here in this passage. Did you get it? Think about it for a minute. Let me read it to you again. Even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Did you get the two things that God has cornered the market on, folks? Well, I'll tell you what they are. Number one, only God can raise the dead. Praise the Lord. You know, when Jesus Christ gave up the soul and said, "Tetelestai, it's finished," and then cried out, you know, and the sun was darkened, and the veil in the temple was rent in two, and the giant earthquake hit, graves were opened. And some of the past prophets and great people of the Bible, for faith, were brought back to life. So number one, only God can raise the dead. And number two, only God can make something out of nothing. So he's cornered the market on these two things, hasn't he? Praise the Lord. And that's what Abram believed. You know, Paul says, he, that's Abram, believed even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So Abram's saying, God, this is your specialty. I know that you can. I know that you're able. You're the one, Almighty God, who brings life out of death and something out of nothing. And that's very important to understand, because Abram was about 100 years old when God spoke to him, and his wife, Sarah, she was about 90, and they were both past the age of childbearing. And yet God says, I'm going to give you a son who's going to be the foundation of many great nations. Now, they knew they couldn't have a baby naturally, but Abram says, now, wait a minute, God. You're the God who brings life out of death, and you're the God that brings something out of nothing. So you must be able to do this. And that's what strong biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, does. It doesn't look at the problem. It looks to Almighty God. So I just picture Abram, you know, coming out of the maternity ward tent after Sarah delivered Isaac, you know, limping along on his case and saying, it's a boy. Can you imagine? How do you explain that? It's a miracle from God. I just could see it, folks. The Bible said that Abram had a respect for the greatness of God. That's what it's saying there, folks. Do you know that people with a weak faith or a hope-so faith have a small God? I don't care what they say on their radio shows. I don't care how much they can whoop and hoop it up and how many hours they put in. You know, their God's small. If they don't have this know-so salvation, if they don't know that God is able. So is your faith weak? If so, you need to know God. I didn't say know about God. I said you need to know God in relationship, and you do that through Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says, they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. So folks, the point here is that we have to merely glance at our problem, but we have to gaze upon God. Notice here in verse 18 of chapter 4 in Romans, it speaks of Abram, and it gets into, and it says, who against hope believed in hope? Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think you're hopeless? Do you? Do you think your situation's just hopeless? Do you think there's no hope for you? Do you think God's finished with you? Or that he never even got started with you? Is that the way you're thinking? Do you think that other people can have this incredible relationship with God, but it's just not in the plan for God to reveal himself to you like that? Well, friends, let me tell you something. In fact, God sent me here today and brought you here today for me to tell you this. God has hope for you. He does. Again, from verse 18, who against hope, that's human hope, believed in hope, and that's the fruit of the Spirit. Hope. So there's different kinds of hope out there too, you know, different kinds of faith and different kinds of hope. In other words, Paul's saying here that there's a human hope that sees things as impossible, and there's a heavenly hope that knows with God all things are possible. Now, the difference is that Abram had this heavenly hope. He looked at God, the God who can bring life out of death and make something out of nothing. And Abram said, you know what? Regardless of my circumstances, I'm going to believe God. So don't look at yourself. Don't look at your problems. Don't dare to call your situation hopeless, folks. You are not hopeless while you're in Jesus Christ. God can bring you to life, and God will make something out of nothing for you. All you have to do is take this incredible promise, stand on it, and then when it looks like it's hopeless, stand on it some more, gaze at your problem, glance at your problem, but gaze at the Lord. And by the way, the only thing that God makes something out of is nothing. Okay? So you've got to become nothing for God to make something out of you. It means you have to empty yourself. You have to allow all pride to vanish. And you have to allow humility to fill you. So truth number one, strong faith receives the gift of God. God enables you to believe. Strong faith, biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ releases the grace of God so you can be sure. You can know that you're saved. Yes, once truly saved, folks, always saved. And then strong faith respects this character of God. So God is God, folks. And when we see God as God, we're going to have this strong faith, a mighty faith. This strong faith, which is our promise, looks to God alone. It laughs at the impossibilities, and it says, my God is able. It shall be done. Are you living like that? Now, this fourth truth is that strong faith responds to the guidance of God. In Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21, Paul wrote concerning Abram, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Isn't that awesome? So God did the miracle that caused Isaac, the son of promise, to be born. And the Bible says that God promises and God performs. It's right there, folks. Black ink on white paper. Now, sure, God did it through Abram and Sarah. But the point here is that there must be a real and strong and biblical faith, the faith of Jesus Christ, responding to the guidance of God for Sarah and Abram to do what they did. And folks, did you notice that they stumbled a little bit? Did you notice that Sarah actually laughed at this promise? Did you notice that she sent Hagar, her handmaiden, to Abram, and then he bore a son with Hagar called Ishmael? And now we got this whole mess in the Middle East. Yet when you read the story in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11, none of that's mentioned. All that's mentioned is that Abram exercised his strong faith, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. Now, if that happened for Abram, how come he's considered the father of our faith? And you mean to tell me that he wasn't saved because after he knew all this, he sinned? You see the point here, folks? You see what I'm trying to say? Real faith just doesn't sit back and say, well, God, you said you're going to give us a son. So here it is. Do it. No, Abram and Sarah certainly had to do their part. And that's what's known as the obedience of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, and this passage is specifically speaking Abram and his faith. It says, by faith, Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed. And I'm telling you, folks, that word obey, it's not a very cool word in our culture today. It isn't. But the point here is that by faith, Abram obeyed. How did Abram obey? By faith, not by sacrifice. The Lord desires obedience over sacrifice. And you may have struggled with that one. Like, well, how does that work? You know, don't you have to sacrifice to obey? No. You obey by faith. You know, faith is actually more of a verb than a noun. And the difference between belief and faith is that faith is belief with legs on it. Is that making sense? So the strong biblical faith not only believes that God can, but it also believes that God will. And God will through us. Now, we can't study this passage on this incredible faith in Romans chapter 4 without also reading James chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. And let me just read that, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. Amen. Was not Abram our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou now faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And after the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abram believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now, remember that the Bible says that Abram was justified by grace through faith. But then also notice what James just said here. It almost as if he's contradicting this. He says, was Abram, our father, not justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? So after he's already been justified by faith, is James now saying he's justified by works? Remember, James wrote saying, seest thou how faith was wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect, and the scripture was fulfilled that saith that Abram believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he is called the friend of God. So what's all that mean if that's not what James is saying? Are James and Paul contradicting each other? No, they're not. But we have to understand this passage in the entire context of the Bible. You know, Paul was talking about being justified before God, and James is talking about being justified before men. Not that men justify us, no, but men can see how we're living. Remember, I said we're walking epistles read by all men, okay? So James is saying, listen, you show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith with works. Now, be very careful here, because we're not saved by faith and works, but we're saved by a faith that works. Does that make sense? Now, here's the last truth, number five. Truth number five, faith reflects the glory of God. Again, from verses 20 and 21 of Romans chapter 4. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Now, listen to this, giving glory to God. Praise the Lord. So would you like to give glory to God? You know, that's actually what SDG stands for. Sola Dea Gloria. I'm doing this solely for the glory of God, folks, and to set the captives free as I co-labor with the Holy Spirit. So do you really think your unbelief glorifies God? Well, of course it doesn't. You know, faith reflects the glory of God. That's the point. Do you know the greatest thing that you could do is to give glory to God? That's why we were created, to honor and glorify God. So it's not giving millions of dollars. It's not being martyred, painting a big bullseye on your roof and saying, oh, come, you know, send a cruise missile here. I want to be martyred. It's not going overseas and being a missionary or locking yourself up in your home and doing religious blog talk shows on Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, and maybe sometimes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. No, folks. That's not what it is. It's not living like a hermit monk and only going out to get some provisions and dog food. The greatest thing you can do to glorify God is to believe God. The Bible says Abram was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So don't parade around your belief in a good God, a strong God, and all that stuff, and then fail to believe him. Don't tell me all that. Don't tell me that you can lose your salvation, folks, when there's an assurance of salvation in his word. Don't tell me that you got to do this and that and don't do this and that, and you believe God. You're calling him a liar, folks. Believe God. I'm telling you, strong faith, biblical faith, is our gift of saving faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. And when we exercise that, when we do, we glorify God. So, folks, go out this coming week. Go out and live by faith, not by sight. I love you all. And I'll be back next week with another message from the book of Romans, provided the Lord's willing. Now, go out and walk, live, and laugh in the strong faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. I love y'all.
We walk by faith and not by sight.